Well, good morning. It is good to see everyone this morning. And man, we had an incredible week here last week, Vacation Bible School. We had over 400 children each night, which is just absolutely incredible. It was a great week. We had those three salvations, and we're just hoping that the seeds that were planted will just create more and more interest in the Lord and that lives will be changed. Can you imagine those kids all amped up, right, for these days of Vacation Bible School, just pumped up? And you had to get on a bus with 85 of them this afternoon? Get them buses. I mean, it's going to be nuts. And when they get to camp, they're going to lift the camp to another level when they get there because they're so excited. And we're praying that in the camp, that some of those that did not accept Christ, that don't have a relationship with Him, that that seed that was it will be watered and it'll be fertilized in this camp, and that God will still do some amazing things in the life of those kids. You believe that'll happen? I believe it will this morning. We're excited about that. And you know, since it's VBS week, or has been VBS week, the theme to that was heroic. And you saw that in the video this morning. You see all the children having a great time and talking about biblical superheroes and those kind of things. Well, I thought I would piggyback on that this morning and title the message that I Need a Hero. So this morning we're going to talk about needing a hero. I want to talk to you about this because I believe the fact is that we all do need a hero from time to time. All of us do from time to time. We need someone that we can go to that can provide help that is beyond our capabilities. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture this morning where we're going to see that God is that hero, that Jesus Christ is that hero, that we can always go to Him when we have a need, whatever we're facing, whatever we're dealing with, that God is there for us, and we don't have to shoulder the load alone. We're in this sermon series titled God of the Possible, and we're looking at these miracle stories in the Bible. And this morning we're going to look at a story as we're looking at this hero. We're going to look at a story that demonstrates that our hero's God, and we're going to learn some things about His help this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you have a tablet, you have a phone, whatever, you've got your scriptures on there this morning, go to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 17. This is kind of a story that a lot of us have heard if you've been in church. If not, it's a story about Jesus taking some resources, very minimal resources, a couple of fish and some bread, and feeding 5,000 people. Actually, probably more than 5,000 people. The scriptures say 5,000 men, but we would imagine, and theologians believe, that there were women and children there as well. So there may have been 10,000 people there that day, maybe 15,000 people. But Jesus fed them with these resources. But through this miracle, He teaches us some things about how we should relate to Him as our hero. So we're going to take a look at that. We're in Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. The scriptures tell us this. On their return, the apostles told Him all that they had done. And He took them and He withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. And when the crowds learned it, they followed Him, and He welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to Him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and the countryside to find lodging and to get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." To which they replied, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we're to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And He said to His disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, and that was 12 baskets of broken pieces. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You for this story that is packed full of lessons for us. God, this morning we're going to just look at three things, and we're going to look at three simple things that help us to understand exactly how we approach You and how You help us. So God, I pray that You would speak to us this morning and that we would not only hear this, but we would internalize it, and then we would take it and apply it to our lives, God, so that we can grow in our relationship with You, become more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. So Father, I pray that You open our hearts, our ears, our minds, speak to us, and for that, we will give You the glory. And everyone here said, amen. All right, when we look at this story, it's a familiar story. It's the feeding of 5,000. As I said, a situation where Jesus took the two fish and the five loaves and he fed all these people and then still had an abundance of food left over after he had fed them. Now, it's a great miracle story in the Bible. And today I want to look at three simple lessons, three things to take away. They're simple lessons, but they're profound lessons. They're things that if we internalize them and we live our lives and do the things we're going to talk about today, our lives will be better for it. We will advance the kingdom. We will bring glory to God if we do these things. So the first thing that I want you to see from this story this morning that God shows us, I believe through the story, is he simply shows us this. We need his help. We need his help. And I can't think of a time in history, I can't think of a culture that has existed, at least in my life, where we need his help like we need it now, right? We've always needed his help, but we live in this culture today that teaches us that we can handle it, right? We can handle it. We've got it under control. We'll just hunker down, and whatever we're going through, whatever it is we're dealing with, we can handle it. Well, I've got some news for you this morning. You can't handle it. All right. That's why we're given this example in the Bible. The disciples, they found out real quick, we can't handle it. And we have to go to someone who can. We have to go to our hero. We have to go to Jesus. And you know, if you say, oh, now, Ed, we don't say that we can handle it. Well, just hang in there with you just a minute. Okay? How many guys, okay, I'm going to talk to the guys in the room right now. How many of you guys, one of your buddies comes to you and he's kind of trying to share with you a little bit and says, man, I'm struggling with this or that. How many of you guys said, you better man up? You ever said that? You got to man up. In other words, you need to handle it yourself, man. You know, come on, man up. Women, I'm not letting you off the hook. Put your big girl pants on. How many of you ever said that? Put your big girl pants on. Deal with it. Well, let me tell you something. You can put your big girl pants on. You can man up. You still can't handle it. You need Jesus. And that's what he's trying to demonstrate to you and me right here is that we need Christ. That when we're dealing with life in general, we need Christ. Even when we're not in a crisis, we need Christ. Even when things are going great, we need Christ. When we're trying to make big decisions, we need Christ. And that's what he's telling us here and what he's showing us. He says, you give them something to eat. Boy, he put the monkey on their back pretty quick, didn't he? Oh, I guess you can't say monkey anymore. It's not appropriate. I mean, the monkeypox, we're trying to change the name. It hurts their feelings or something. So I'll excuse me for that. But you give them something to eat, he said. So he put the pressure on them. I'll say it that way. I hope that's not offensive. But anyway, we can't unless we buy something. Their response didn't come as a surprise at all to Jesus. He knew that they were going to need him. He knows that you're going to need him. He's been around since eternity past, and he will be around into eternity future. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He created you and knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows what's going to happen to you before it ever happens, and he knows that he didn't create you to deal with everything on your own. You need his help. And so that's what he's saying to the disciples this morning. In Matthew 6:8, in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, your Father knows what you need before you even ask him what you need. So Jesus is about to teach them a valuable lesson. And the lesson is this, you need my help. That's what he's saying, you need my help. He knows that we face difficulty. And he has compassion on us, and he wants to help us. Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. Do you ever feel harassed? A little helpless sometime? Like sheep without a shepherd. See, he created us to rely on him. He created us, and he wants to be included in every activity of your life. He wants to be included in every conversation, every problem, every thought that we have, because he knows that you can't handle life on your own, that you need him to come along beside you and walk beside you. And sometimes we can get involved in things and we just don't think there's any way out. But listen to Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at some folks and he said, With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible because he's there with us. So he has the resources to help us. He created everything that exists, and he wants to help us. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Are you struggling in your marriage and you want to know how to make your marriage work? He's got the answer for you, right? In your finances, he's got the answer. In all these different ways, he's got the answers for you. He wants to help you. He's just looking for you to come to him and to ask him. And we're going to talk about that next, because not only does he show us that we need his help, but he shows us how to get it. He says, okay, I'm going to show you how to get it. Now, this is really simple. You probably already know what I'm about to tell you, but we need to be reminded of it from time to time. Look at Luke 9, 14 through 16. He says, for there were about 5,000 men. And again, add women and children into that. Big crowd, right? And he says to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so. And he had them all sit down. And then it says, taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. You see, God had already just demonstrated that you're going to need me. You think you got this, you're going to need me. You're going to need to elicit my help. You solicit my help. And we need him. We need to do the same thing. And now he says, I'm going to show you how you get help. I'm going to show you how to get. And the first thing he does is he says, you need to follow my instruction. The way we get help is we follow God's instruction. He says in verse 14 and 15, for there were about 5,000 men. And here's the important phrase. Listen, and he said to his disciples. In other words, God spoke. God's word comes into play right here. Then he gives the instructions, have them sit down and do all of this stuff. The first thing he does is he shows us that if we're going to get help, we need to follow his instructions. Now, we understand that Jesus is not present physically at this moment here for us to go, hey, what do I need to do? Or can you tell me what to do? You know, Jesus is here, but he's still here with us. He exists. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are present in us because God sends his Holy Spirit to indwell us. And so he has given us instruction. Here is your instruction. Okay, he has given you God's inerrant, inspired, infallible word as your instruction. If your marriage is having problems and you want to know how it's supposed to work and how to fix it, he's given you the instruction. If your finances are not working the way they should and you want a good financial plan, he's given you the instruction. If you want to know how to raise your children the way you should raise your children, he's given you the instruction. If you want to know how to be a good employer, he's given you the instructions. If you want to know how to be a good employee, he's given you the instructions. If you want to know how to deal with people who don't deal well with you, he's given you the instructions. In this book, you have everything you need for life and for living. He's given you the instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all scripture from Genesis to Revelation is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God has given us his word. So the place to start is with God's word. We need his help. Where do you go to get his help? His word. So here's what you need to do. Go home, pick that Bible up off that shelf, blow it off, and open it up. Okay? That's what we need to do. We need to get into God's word. But it doesn't, and instruction's important. Do you believe instruction is important? Following instructions is important. Let me tell you something. When I was a young man, I was in my early 20s, and I hadn't been, you know, hadn't really taken any big long trips or anything like that. A friend of mine and me, you know, I was a drummer in a rock and roll band, and he was a bass player, and there was a band up in, there was a famous band up in, and somehow we got connected, and they were up in North Florida, and they had a couple sick members, and they needed a couple people to fill in, and we got invited to go play.
Wow, that's big.
Okay, I mean, Lynyrd Skynyrd and Charlie Daniels were there. Okay, now I'm not saying that's what you ought to be, who you ought to be hanging out with and stuff like that. This was in the day, okay? I have Jesus, okay? And it's all good, but this was the day. But we went, and this is the biggest thing in my life, I mean, to go up there and do this. So we were on our way to Jacksonville, Florida. You know, got that long hair stuff, the wind is down, it's blowing in the breeze, man. It was 1970s, and you know, I had on bell bottoms and hip huggers, you know, the whole thing. You know, peace sign on my shirt. And we were on our way. So we leave here and we start heading to Jacksonville, and we had explicit instructions on how to get to Jacksonville. Until my friend said, I think I know a better way. 3 hours later, we were at some guard shack and a Marine had a weapon pointed at us. These two hippies in this car, that's what we used to call people along here back in the day, hippies. And so we were flower children, okay? And so they had a gun pointed at us and asked us what, we were at the back gate to NASA. It took us 6 hours to get to Jacksonville from here. Because we didn't follow the stupid instructions. Well, they weren't stupid instructions. They were the right instructions. We followed our own stupid way. Okay? You ever done that kind of crazy thing? You done that crazy thing? I love giving you guys glimpses into my past because now you'll start Googling, asking my friends. It'll be great. Let me just say this. One of the reasons that God has blessed our church and it's grown the way it's grown is because I grew up in this town. And a lot of people come here simply because they saw me then and they see me now. And they know if Jesus can do that, he can do anything. Okay, just want you to know. But anyway, it's just amazing that we have God's word as instruction, right? We have this incredible instruction. But somehow we take shortcuts. And sometimes we don't want to go to the instruction. We think we've got it all figured out. We don't really think we need his help. But listen to me, we need his help. And so we need to follow his instructions, but it doesn't stop there because look at verse 16. It says that Jesus took these 5 loaves and these 2 fish and he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing over them. You know what he was doing at that moment in time? He was praying. He was talking to the Father. You and I need to be people of prayer. If we're going to get God's help, yes, we need to be in the Word of God, but we also need to be people of prayer. Sometimes you've heard me say this before, but we'll get to just be almost at the end of our rope and we just don't know what to do, where to go. And someone will say, well, I guess all we can do is pray. That is the wrong answer. You should have prayed in the beginning. We should be people of prayer. We should never quit praying. We should always be praying. There's so many passages in the Bible. Ephesians 6, 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. You know, when I get up in the morning and I have my quiet time and I do my devotion, I read my Bible, I pray, I talk to God, and I don't close my prayer because why? I'm going to pray throughout the course of the day. That doesn't mean I walk around verbally, out loud praying, but I'm constantly in a state of prayer. I'm going into an important meeting. I'm praying. God helps out in the meeting. I'm just praying. You know, something comes up, I'm praying about it. I get word that somebody just got put in the hospital or somebody's sick that's at heart, and I stop and pray for that person right then and pray for them. A constant state of prayer so that I can stay in tune with God so he can help me and know what's going on and we can be having a conversation back and forth. Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing, give thanks to circumstances. And you know, we need to pray because God knows what's going on and what we should do. Listen to Psalm 142, 2 and 3. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell him, you ever had a complaint? Yeah, can I get an amen? Okay, just want to know, because if you say you don't ever had any complaints, you'll lie about other stuff. And we need to get this straight, okay? So I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, listen to what it says about God. You know my way. He knows where we should go. Listen to this same verse out of the New Living Translation. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. Anybody got any troubles? Tell him all my troubles. When I'm overwhelmed, ever been overwhelmed? Okay, and listen to what it says. And you, God, you alone know the way that I should turn. It doesn't make sense not to talk to him. He's the one that knows where we should go. So we want to talk. We want to go to his word. We want to get instruction, but we also want to pray, right? We want to talk to our heavenly Father because he has the answers. He is our creator. Isaiah 44, 2 says, God's talking. He says, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Think about that just for a moment. Before you were ever thought about, before you were a sparkle in your daddy's eye, he was thinking about you. While you were being formed and shaped in your mother's womb, he was thinking about you. And I'm just going to stop there for one moment, and I'm not going to go in this a whole lot, but you know what that says? That says that the unformed little baby that's inside of mommy, that God knows they're there. He formed them. He knit them together. And thank God this week, the Supreme Court came to their senses and overturned Roe versus Wade. monumental deal. That's just incredible. But right there it says that I'm your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. You don't think it matters? A little baby inside his mom is in God's care even before it's born. God himself said that. So anyway, he wants us to know that we need to go for him for instruction. And there's one more way that I want to encourage you to get instruction and get help. We go to God's word and we pray. The other thing is that we lean into our brothers and sisters in Christ. We get involved in a small group in the local church. We get involved in a place where we can connect with other people. We can speak into their lives. They can speak into our lives. We can pray for them. They can pray for us. We can be there for them. I could go around this room right now and have people stand up and they would give testimony after testimony of how God has used their small group to radically change their life. If you're in a group and that's true, say amen this morning. I'm telling you. So we need other believers as well that we can share our life with. And so God shows me I need his help. God shows me how to get his help, but he also shows us how to accept his help. What kind of attitude should we have? How should we approach the help that he sends our way? Well, look at Luke 9:17. It says, "And they all ate and they were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces." Okay, here it is. Here's another story that I want to be there. I would just love to have been there to see this. I mean, can you imagine they had this, you know, couple little fish, you probably like little sardines, you know, and a few pieces of bread, and he's praying, and they just start taking these baskets. People just keep taking food out, keep taking food. And when they get through, they pick up the stuff that was left, and there's 12 basketfuls of stuff. What an amazing miracle. What an incredible thing that God did. And it says they all ate and were satisfied, and what was left over was picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. I think this verse speaks to me about confidence, and this is the thing I want you to take away, is that we can accept what God is doing for us with confidence. And this teaches us about that. We can understand that God can take care of it. This is the same God who at one point in time said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This is the same God who created man from the dust of the earth. This is the same God that hung the stars and the moon and the sun. This is the same God that's created everything that is. The God that created you, the God that created me, and he did all of those things. This is the same God who sent his son when we sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and broke the relationship with God and marred that relationship. This is the same God who loved us so much that he was willing to step out of heaven, come to earth in the form of a man, suffer a horrific death on the cross, go to the grave, raise up out of the grave, go through all that agony and all of that just because he loves you. That's the same God. And he wants to help you. And he's there, but he wants you to understand something. You need his help. And he's given you ways to get his help. And he wants you to have confidence in his help. I believe that's what this part of the verse is, one of the things this part of the verse is trying to tell us. Hebrews 13:6 says, "We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" What can man do to me? There's some of you in this room right now that needs to remember this verse and you need to memorize it, need to put it on your bathroom mirror. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God's in control. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us." God can do things we can't even imagine. He can work in ways. When your situation seems hopeless, he's full of hope. When it seems helpless, he's full of help. He's got it under control. Just trust him. Now, I'm not telling you that when you go to God and you pray and you got a situation and you know, because you know how we are. Let's just be honest, okay? Can we get real? We know exactly how we want something to work out, don't we? And that's how we generally pray. "No, God, if you'll just do this." What? You know, you need to just pray, "God, I got a situation here. Got some circumstances. God, I need you to show up and just do some God stuff. You do whatever you want to do because you're God and I'm not, and I'm stupid and you're smart. So you do something. Would you help me out?" And let God do what God's going to do. Now, he may not answer your prayer the way exactly you think he ought to answer, but I'll promise you this, however he answered, it's the right way. Amen. It's the right way. That's right. You know, God, the Bible tells us that he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. People that have a relationship with him, he's going to work whatever that situation out, even though right now it might not seem so good. Right now you might not get it, you might not understand it, but in God's economy and in his plan, he's working it out for your good and his glory. And we don't ever need to forget that. So, this is such an encouraging message to me. I mean, God says, you know what? I want you to know, first of all, that you can't handle everything on yourself. You need me by yourself. You need me. I want you to come to me. I'm asking you. I want you to come and trust me. And he says, and here's how you can do that. You can get into my word because I've given you this just comprehensive instruction manual for life and living and for how to bring me glory and get to know me and all that. I've given you my word. And then I've given you this incredible vehicle called prayer where you can literally come before my throne and bring your petitions to me and talk to me. I've done that. And not only that, but I've given you brothers and sisters in Christ that you can lean on and lean into, and they can lean into you and on you, and you can share your life with them, and they can speak into your life, and you can speak into their life. I've given you all these resources so that when you come to me, I can use all these resources to help you out, and then anything else I choose to use to help you out. And then you can have confidence to know that I've got your back. You can have confidence to know that when you need help, that I'm your God. And if you put your faith and your trust in me, then I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to work this thing out. You can have that confidence. So let me ask you something. Is that an encouraging message? Doesn't that make you feel good to know that the God of the universe is there for you? And we see that in this passage. You know, now I know some of you are going, okay, I get it. But Ed, I'm telling you, I've just learned a lesson in life. This almost sounds too good to be true. And when something's too good to be true, it probably is. My mom told me that when I was growing up. She used to say that all the time. She drilled that into my head. If something seems too good to be true, probably is. And I don't know about you, but you've probably experienced that same kind of thing. So I want to tell you this morning that there is a catch. You're right, it's too good to be true. But here's the catch. The only way this works is if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's the catch. God says, I sent my son to die on a cross for your sins. I've done everything to provide you with an opportunity to have an incredible relationship with me and for me to be there for you. But in order for that to happen, you've got to embrace my son. You've got to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. So if you're here today and you've never put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do that today. Because you know why? Because here's something that I know about you. There are a lot of things I don't know. Sometimes there's stuff I don't know, but I can tell you there's something that I do know. You need a hero. And his name is Jesus. And if you will put your faith and your trust in Jesus, that's where it all starts. And if you're here this morning and you're maybe through something that was spoken, be a song that was sung, or maybe through a conversation with someone out there over a cup of coffee in the cafe. Maybe you're at home this morning, you're watching online, and you're just there, but something inside, you feel something, and you go, I need this. And maybe you don't even know how to get it. You're just like, I just need this. I just know I need this. Something's going on inside of me. You know what that is? That is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God just saying, come. And here's what you need to do. You just need to pray. You need to pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins and be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you don't know how to pray, so I'm going to pray with you this morning. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Now, my prayer is not magic because I'm just a guy standing up here. I'm a pastor, yeah, but it's your prayer that matters. This has to come from your heart. Pray with me right now. Just say, Jesus, I need a hero. Jesus, I need a Savior. I need you to forgive me of my sins, and I'm asking you right now to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to cleanse me of my unrighteousness. And in the best way that I know how and what I understand right now, I am committing my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, we have the promise of Almighty God through his word that he has saved you. If you were genuine and sincere, and if you made that decision today, here's what I want you to do. In just a few moments, we're going to stand and sing a song. And as we're singing, I would invite you to just slide out or out into the aisle and make your way to the back of the auditorium. And we have people back there with lanyards on that say prayer team. They have t-shirts on that say prayer team. And they are just waiting to talk to you, to pray with you, to answer your questions. Maybe you're here today and you go, you know, I kind of think I might want to make that decision, but I need to talk a little bit more and have a few more questions answered. They are there to answer your questions. So I would invite you to slide out and to go back and see them in just a moment. Maybe you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus, but maybe the truth of the matter is as we went through these simple things today, you've been handling things on your own. Maybe you've not been looking into God's word. You've not been praying like you should. Maybe you've kind of been shouldering the burden of a lot of things and you go, well, you know what, today's the day I need to give this to Jesus. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ, and I would invite you to go back and talk to someone on our team as well. Or perhaps you're here today and you know somebody else that needs what we've talked about today. Or maybe there's an illness in your family, or there's a family problem, or there's some kind of financial strain that you're going through, or whatever it might be. We invite you to go to one of these crosses on each side of the room each and every week, and there are little pieces of paper, and you can write your prayer request on there and pin it up on the cross, symbolically nailing it to the cross. And we'll come in and we'll take those down, and our staff will go into our staff meetings. We'll pray for all those prayer requests. So, because we want to pray for you. You can also go online, home right now. You can't make it to those crosses, but you can talk to our online host. You can also and type in your prayer request, and we read those aloud in those meetings as well, and we pray for you as well. So I don't know what you need to do today. Sometimes that's the most frustrating thing at the end of every service. I'm up here and I wish God, when I went to seminary, there was a class I could take on how to read your minds. You're going, no, you don't. But anyway, I wish that there was, but I can't. But I know this. There's no way. The Bible says clearly, God's word does not return void. So I know that he's speaking to you in some way today, if you've listened. And if he's speaking to you, follow his lead. And if you'll do that, it'll be for your good, and he'll get the glory. Stand with us now as we continue to worship.